الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه كما يحب ربنا ويرضى، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وبعد. الحمد لله يا أخوان. We return for our second lesson this weekend regarding the stories of repentance. And last night I mentioned that I wanted to add some kalam from Sheikh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala, regarding the narration of the man who killed 99 people. But for the sake of time and wanting to get through the three stories, inshallah ta'ala, we'll have to save that for a later date. So bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, today we will discuss, ikhwan, the narration of the tawbah of Ma'iz ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu. And this is in relation, ikhwan, to the tawbah of that noble companion radiyallahu anhu, and that which is connected to repentance, as we mentioned before, from the likes of fornication and other than that. Regarding this issue, Ikhwan ibn Hajar, he says, rahimahullah ta'ala, لَقَدْ عَدَّ الْعُلَمَاءَ الزِّنَا مِنَ الْكَبَائِرِ. The scholars have counted الزِّنَا, illicit sexual acts, illegal sexual acts, from the major sins. And we'll discuss what is intended there momentarily, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. وَبَعْدُ الزِّنَا أَغْلَظْ مِنْ بَعْضٍ. And some acts are more reprehensible than others. Now regarding the issue of Ikhwan, in the general term of zina, we must clarify what is intended here, as there is a narration from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Ibn Abbas, where he said, مَا رَأَيْتُ شَيْءٍ أَشْبَهَ بِاللَّمَمْ مِمَّا قَالَ أَبُو هُرَيْرَةَ. Ibn Abbas, he said, I did not see anything more resembling al-lamam, meaning the minor sins, and we discussed something of the minor sins last night in our lesson. But Ibn Abbas said, I did not see anything that resembled the minor sins more than what I heard from Abu Hurairah. أَنَّ النَّبِيَ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ قَالْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ عَلِي بْنِ آدَمْ حَظَّهُ مِنَ الزِّنَا. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for the children of Adam their portion of الزِّنَا. أَدْرِكَ ذَلِكَ وَلَا مَحَالًا. Yani, that which is inevitable. From that act, that which is inevitable. And now he goes on to clarify in the narration what is intended here, ya akhwan, فَزِنَا الْعَيْنَيْنِ النَّظَرِ. The fornication of the eyes is the looking. So this is considered a form of zina, and we'll talk momentarily about that, as is that which leads to the ultimate act of illegal sexual activities. الْعَيْنَيْنِ, he says, زِنَا الْعَيْنَيْنِ النَّظَرِ. وَزِنَا اللِّسَانِ النُّطْقِ أَوِ الْكَلَامِ. In one reading, Ikhwan, it says النُّطْقِ. In another, it says الْكَلَامِ, that the fornication of the tongue is the speaking. It's the talking. وَالْأُذُنَانِ زِنَاهُمَا الْإِسْتِمَاعِ. And the fornication of the ears is the listening. Listening to those things that one should not be listening to. From speech and from voices and the likes of this. وَلْيَدْ زِنَاهَا الْبَطَشِ. And the hand commits fornication, and the fornication of the hand is the touching, the grasping, and the likes of this. And to the end of that narration where it mentions, Ikhwan, that the feet also commit fornication, the fornication of the feet is the walking towards that. وَالنَّفْسْ تَمَنَّى وَتَشْتَهِي وَالْفَرَجْ يُصَدِّقْ ذَلِكَ أَوْ يُكَذِّبُهُ. And it mentions in the narration, Ikhwan, that the self, the inner self, desires, and the private parts either affirm that or negate that. Now this narration, Ikhwan, is a tremendous clarification for us of the different degrees and levels as it relates to the affair of az-zina. And those things that call towards the ultimate act of illegal sexual intercourse, from that which one sees with the eyes, and from that which one hears with the ears, and from that which one feels with the touch, all of these things, Ikhwana, that which lead towards that ultimate act, and that's why at the end of the narration, the Messenger of Allah said, what the private parts, either yusaddiquhu or yukadhibuhu. Either affirm that or negate that. And so that, Ikhwan, is the reality of this matter. Now, what is also important for us to understand here, Ikhwan, labidifikum, is that Ibn Abbas considered this act leading up to the ultimate act as al-lamim, again, from the minor sins. But we mentioned last night, Ikhwan, that we do not consider it minor in the sense that it is of no concern to us. It doesn't matter to us. Minor in relation to that which is greater than it. So the individual is mindful, not supposedly of the minuteness of the sin itself, but rather, as we said last night, the greatness of the one that you are disobeying. So that is the reality of the matter. And therefore, Ikhwan al-Barifikum, we understand, as Sheikh Uthaymeen said, that all of these things, Ikhwan, are a step, a stage towards the ultimate act. And therefore, we find in the ayah in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا, and do not come close to zina. Do not approach, do not even come close to zina. إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَسَاءَ السَّبِيلًا. For indeed, it is a great sin, a grave sin, and an evil way. So this Ikhwan clarifies for us, Allah ibadifikum, as we'll read momentarily from As-Sa'di, that it's not only the act itself that has been prohibited. Not only has the act itself been prohibited, but anything that would call to it or anything that would lead to it has been prohibited. And therefore, if the eyes commit fornication, the remedy for that is the lowering of the gaze and not looking at that which will call you and invite you towards that which is impermissible. Therefore, Ikhwan, al-khalwa, being alone in seclusion with someone that you are not, it is not permissible for you to be in seclusion with, is impermissible, as it is that which calls and leads one towards the ultimate act of illegal sexual intercourse. And therefore, when Allah says in this verse, do not come close, do not come near to fornication, this is what is intended in the verse. As-Sa'di, he says, in the tafsir of this verse in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, النَّهْيُ عَنْ قُرْبَانِهِ أَبْلَغْ مِنَ النَّهْيِ عَنْ مُجَرَّدْ فِعْلِهِ. And listen to this, Ikhwan. He says, the prohibition of approaching the act, of coming close to the act, is more emphatic than the prohibition of the act itself. Because the act itself is included in the prohibition of not coming close to it. If you can't come close to it, then the prohibition of the act itself is included in that. But in prohibiting anything that would bring you close to it or near to it is a more emphatic prohibition. It is a greater prohibition, ya akhwan al-barifikum. لِأَنَّ ذَلِكَ يَشْمَلَ النَّهْيَ عَنْ جَمِيعِ مُقَدِّمَاتِهِ وَدَعَوِيهِ. Because again, as we mentioned before, Ikhwan, that comprises any act that leads to it or calls to it. And then the Shaykh, he mentioned, Ikhwan, from that tremendous hadith, يعني paraphrasing the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, إِنَّ الْحَلَالَ بَيِّنٌ وَإِنَّ الْحَرَامَ بَيِّنٌ وَبَيْنُهُمَا أُمُورٌ اشْتَبِهَاتٌ. Between them are matters that are not so clear. The halal is clear, the haram is clear, and between them are matters that are not so clear. And he gave the example in the hadith, Ikhwan, of the ra'i yar'a hawl al-hima, the shepherd who grazes on the borders of a land that should not be crossed, or a border that should not be crossed, grazes on the borders of those lands. It is only a matter of time before he will fall into grazing in that land. So the Shaykh here, Ikhwan al-Barifikum, he brings this hadith as a tremendous reminder for us that if you come close to the affair, it is only a matter of time before you will fall into the act. So here we see, Ikhwan, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this tremendous remedy, this makhraj, Ikhwan, from this fitna, the lowering of the gaze, the remaining far, not making khalwa, not listening to that which we should not listen to, not touching that which we should not touch. All of these, Ikhwan, affairs are remedies for us to keep us away from the ultimate act, bi-idhnillahi tabaraka wa ta'ala. Su'al. We mentioned in the verse, wala taqrabu zina. Who can give me another verse that has the same wording, wala taqrabu, wala taqrabu? Aywa, ahsant. Ahsant. You have to speak up. I I said, لا تقربوا. لا تقربوا يا إخوان. He said that already. أحسنت. So our brother mentioned it. Jazakallah khair. أحسنت. There's one that I'm waiting for somebody to give me. So yeah, the brothers gave it to us already. I can't hear you. Say it again. I can't hear you. لا تقربوا الصلاة وأنتم. That's what I was waiting for. الله يبارك فيكم. حياكم الله. جزاكم الله خير يا إخوان. So we move, إخوان, into the highlighting point, the narration. الله يبارك فيكم. عن سليمان بن بريدة. عن سليمان بن بريدة. This narration, إخوان, by the way, is collected by that we're reading from the wording today is from Imam Muslim. الله يبارك فيكم. عن سليمان بن بريدة عن أبيه. سليمان بن بريدة عن أبيه. And his father, إخوان, and سليمان بن بريدة, he's a tabi'i, tabi'i من التابعين, and his father is بريدة بن حسيب. بريدة بن حسيب الأسلمي. أبو عبد الله, his kunya أبو عبد الله, and others, they have said other kunyas, he has other, يعني, kunyas have been mentioned regarding his name, or his kunya, I should say. الصحابي المشهور مات 63, he died in the year 63 Hijri. And he is the narrator of this hadith. قال جاء ماعز ابن مالك, and he is ماعز ابن مالك الأسلمي. He is also الأسلمي رضي الله عنه. جاء مالك ماعز بن مالك إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال يا رسول الله طهرني. Now regarding this, إخوان, الله يبارك فيكم, who's familiar with the what is mentioned in the Sunan regarding the reason why Ma'iz came to the Messenger of Allah عليه وسلم to ask him to purify him? I mentioned last night the Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, he says, similar to the affair of Asbab al-Nuzul, the reasons for the revelation of verses, if one knows the reason for the revelation of a verse, then he has half the understanding or the knowledge of that verse. And if he knows the reason for a hadith, why a hadith occurred or transpired, Sheikh Nasir, he says, rahimahullah, then that person has half of the knowledge or the fiqh of that hadith. Is anyone familiar with what, that which led up to Ma'az ibn Malik coming to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? But what prompted him to go? What was his name? I don't know if it was his uncle, but JazakAllah khair. طيب. Sheikh Al-Albani, he mentions Ikhwan, and this is in Silsila Sahih. He brings this narration and he says it is Sahih li ghayrihi, and he brings some fiqh regarding the narration. The Sheikh says, Anna, there was a companion, Hazzal. His name was Hazzal. A companion by the name of Hazzal. Amara Ma'izan an ya'ati an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He commanded Ma'iz, he told Ma'iz to go to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to inform him of what had taken place. It mentions Ma'iz asaba jariya min al-hay, that Ma'iz had relations with this woman. Faqala lahu Hazzal, so Hazzal said to him, "Iti Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fa akhbirhu bima hasal." He said, "Go to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and inform him bima sana'ta. Go to him and tell him what you did. La'allahu yastaghfir lak." So that perhaps he will seek forgiveness on your behalf. Go to the Messenger of Allah, Hazzal said to Ma'iz, inform him what you fell into, that perchance or perhaps he would seek forgiveness on your behalf. And it's mentioned in the narration, Ikhwan, again, I talked last night about the ulama following up, looking around, gathering different versions of the narrations. And it mentions that the name of the woman, the Jariya, is Fatima. It is mentioned her name was Fatima wa qila ghayr dhalik. And others have said other than that. So when Ma'iz came to the Messenger of Allah, as we'll get into momentarily, what we find, Ikhwan, in another narration, another wording of this narration is what the Prophet ﷺ ultimately said to Hazzal. Yani after the punishment had been inflicted upon Ma'iz ibn Malik, after he had been stoned, there is a narration that the Messenger of Allah ﷺ said something to Hazzal. Is anyone familiar with what he said to him? Allah better feed. He said to him, Ya Hazzal, لو سترته بثوبك كان خيرا لك. If you would have shielded him with your thobe, with your garment, it would have been better for you. In other words, instead of telling him, as Al-Azim Abadi mentions, Ikhwan, in Aun al-Ma'bud, in the explanation of the Sunan of Abi Dawood, he said to him, Ikhwan, the meaning of this is, لو أمرته بالستر. If only you had commanded him to conceal his sins. That is the meaning of his statement to Hazzal. If only you had covered him with your thobe, meaning went to great lengths to prevent him from uncovering that which he had fallen into so that he could repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not expose his affair. So we find from this, Ikhwan, and other narrations and other points that we're going to make from the narration that the origin or the asl of the affairs of sins is a satr. The foundation, Ikhwan, of sins is to cover them up, to conceal them and to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala between you and your Lord. That is the foundation, Ikhwan, of the matter of sins, as we'll see in this narration, other than that, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, that we'll read tonight or today. Now regarding this, Ikhwan, I want to read a little bit more from what Sheikh Al-Albani says before we get into the narration. Again, we want to get the fiqh of what led up to Ma'iz coming to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So again, I'm reading from As-Silsila As-Sahiha. لو سترته, if only you had covered him. Al-Albani mentions, فسره الباجي في المنطقة بقوله يريد مما أظهرته أمره إخبار النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأبي بكر وعمر به. Now in this particular wording, it mentions that if only you had not caused him to expose that affair to the Messenger of Allah, to inform Abu Bakr, to inform Umar, as we'll see in some other wordings, بإذن الله تعالى today. فَكَانَ سَتْرُهُ بِأَنْ يَأْمُرُهُ بِالتَّوْبَةِ. What you should have done, the meaning again, is to cover his affair and command him to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't inform anybody. Don't say it to anybody. Don't tell anybody. Rather, command him to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That should have been the advice. كِتْمَانْ خَطِيَتِهِ. And to, again, conceal his crime, conceal his sin. وَإِنَّمَا ذَكَرَ فِيهِ الرِّدَاءَ عَلَى وَجْهِ الْمُبَالَغَةِ. And as I mentioned, Ikhwan, the Prophet ﷺ only mentioned covering him with your garment, your rida, your upper garment, as a means of showing how much you should have covered this man's sins and told him not to mention this to anyone. What we learn from this, Ikhwan, is that what we see in society of so much isha'atul fahisha, so much of the spreading of sins, mentioning it to this one, going to that one, telling this one this is what I did, and telling that one this is what I did, and then that person going and telling somebody else what the person did. That is not from the teachings of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We didn't learn that from the Sunnah. We didn't learn that from Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. We didn't learn that from the way of the companions, as we'll see momentarily, from Abu Bakr, from Umar, other than them, Ikhwan. Rather, what we learn from them, Ikhwan, as we said, that the origin of the affair is satr. So even if someone comes to you with news, Ikhwan, tell them to fear Allah, don't spread it, and don't you take it to anyone else after that. That's the origin of the affair, Ikhwan, that perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will pardon you for your sins as opposed to exposing a believer. So he goes on after this, Ikhwan, وَلَا بِرِفِيكُمْ بِمَعْنَ أَنُّهُ لَوْ لَمْ تَجِدْ السبيل إلى الستر إلا بأن تستره بردائك ممن يشهد عليه لكان أفضل. Meaning, if you couldn't find any other way to hide and conceal what he did except to take your upper garment and cover him up with it, then you should have done so. This would have been better. This would have been better to cover him up and hide him like that, even if you have to take your over garment to cover him up and hide him from the eyesight of the people, as opposed to telling him to expose his sins and his transgressions. And then he mentions after this, Ikhwan, مِمَّا أَتَاهُ وَتَسَبَّبَ إِلَىٰ إِقَامَةِ الْحَدْ عَلَيْهِ, from that which transpired from him being stoned to death. And the Sheikh al-Albani says after this, Ikhwan, after mentioning the statement of al-Baji there, he says, وَالْخُلَاصَ, and in sum, أَنَ الْحَدِيثِ مَحْمُولَ عَلَى مَنْ كَانَ مِثَلْ مَاعِذْ فِي النَّدَمْ عَلَى مَا فَعَلْ. Now this is an important point. This is a very important point that the Sheikh is making as it relates to our understanding of the narration. This applies to those who are like Ma'iz bin Malik, meaning one who is remorseful, one who is regretful, one who is broken up by that which he has done. It is not his customary act. He's not running around, fornicating and doing these kinds of affairs day in and day out. Rather, it's a person who makes a zalla, ikhwan, a slip. He falls, as Bani Adam does. As all of Bani Adam does. He slips and he falls, but he's broken up. His heart is tore up. Shiddatul huzn, as we mentioned last night. It's extremely sad at that which had taken place. In this case, again, ikhwan, the origin, the asal is what? Satr. Hiding the sin, concealing the sin, covering up the sin. Allah barakum. But as for the person, ikhwan, Allah barakum, who goes about, who walks up and down the street with a bottle of wine and has no problem anybody seeing what he does, then this is a different affair. And we'll discuss that, inshallah ta'ala, from some of the speech of Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, today. So the Sheikh, he says, ikhwan, فَيَنْبَغِيَ السَّتَرْ عَنْهُ وَعَدْمَ التَّشْهِيرِ بِهِ. So finally he says, so what one must do is to cover that man up, cover that person up, and to not make that affair known to the people. So again, ikhwan, that is the origin of the matter. So after all of this takes place, ikhwan, and Hazzal tells him to go to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he comes and he says, Ya Rasulullah, tahirni, purify me. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says, wayhak, woe. And some of the ulama, ikhwan, they mention from them, al-Tibi, and other than them, ikhwan, they said that woe is a kalima tarahum. It's like an expression of hoping mercy upon someone in some instances. تُقَالِ مَنْ وَقْعَ فِي هَلَكَ لَا يَسْتَحِقُّهَا. One would say, for example, if someone fell into destruction or like this, or hardship or like this, and did not deserve it. One would say, وَيْحَكَ وَيْحَ, like this. So this, ikhwan, in this context, the ulama have mentioned, is an expression of mercy. Like, whoa, stop. He's telling him to stop. Irji', go back, return. فَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ, seek forgiveness from Allah, وَتُبْ إِلَيْهِ. Whatever it is, the Prophet ﷺ didn't ask, well, what is it first? Let me hear what it is first before I tell you, whether to seek forgiveness or not. He didn't even ask what it was. Didn't want to know what it was. Said to him, ikhwan al-barifikum, wayhak, stop, whoa. Irji', go back. فَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ, seek Allah's forgiveness, وَتُوبْ إِلَيْهِ, and repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hikmah, the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ikhwan, unfortunately, as we said, the society has become so engrossed and engaged in sins and loving to hear about sins. And some of the ulama have mentioned, ikhwan, that those who love isha'at al-fahisha, they love that illicit sins be spread amongst the people. Some of the ulama have said in the tafsir, that verse in the Quran, that no one spreads these things except that they love them. You don't spread it unless you love it. That is the actual manifestation of your love, that you take it and you spread it amongst the people. Because if you hated it, you wouldn't want to even put it off of your tongue. So we have found now, ikhwan, unfortunately, that people are so engrossed and engaged in sins, they want to know a little bit more. Well, what happened? Well, where were you at?
Why were you in there with... So what was going on? What was she wearing? It gets to a point in Ikhwan where the people begin to make taftish and investigate, and they ask because their hearts, Ikhwan, inclined. They want to hear more. We don't find this in the narration of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wayhak. Irji', go back. Istaghfirullah wa tubi ilayhi. Go back, repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seek Allah's forgiveness. قَالَ فَرَجِعَ غَيْرَ بَعِيدٍ. So he went off. But again, he was nadim, Ikhwan, he was broken up. He needed to get an answer from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he came back again. Ya Rasulullah, tahirni, purify me. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again said, what, Ikhwan? وَيْحَكْ إِرْجِعْ. Whoa, go back. Astaghfirullah, tub ilayhi. He said the same thing the second time, Ikhwan, Allah barifikum. Go back. Seek Allah's forgiveness and repent to Him. So again, Ikhwan, it mentions in the narration that he went off a bit. Not very far, not very long. As it mentions in the narration, then he came back again. Now, regarding this, Ikhwan, I want to read what Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen says before we proceed. In the explanation of Riyad al-Saliheen, Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, he says, وَأَمَّا مَنْ عَمِلَ الْمَعَصِيَةِ وَنَدِمْ وَتَابَ فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَجُوزْ لَهُ أَنْ يُحَدِّثَ النَّاسِ بِمَا فَعَلْ. This goes back to what we were discussing earlier. Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, this great imam, this allama, what did he say, Ikhwan, with the fiqh of the scholars of Al-Islam? He said, and as for the one who commits a sin and is remorseful and has repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is not permissible for him to speak to the people about it. It is not permissible for him to inform the people about it. Not only is it not from wisdom, not only is it not from correct or whatever, it is not permissible. And we'll see in momentarily when the Sheikh brings evidence to support this statement of his. He says, that if the person is remorseful and regretful and he has repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَجُوزْ لَهُ أَنْ يُحَدِّثَ النَّاسِ بِمَا فَعَلْ. It is not permissible for him to inform the people what he has done. فَإِنَّ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال, here's the evidence, كُلُّ أُمَّتِ مُعَافَ إِلَّا الْمُجَاهِرُونَ. All of my ummah are forgiven except those who expose themselves. Now this is important for us as we talk about this narration, as we talk about these principles in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we talk about these affairs of sins and isha'atul fahisha fil ladina amanu and spreading these illicit tales amongst the believers. We must understand, Ikhwan, again with the fiqh of the ulama of al-Islam, bringing us the understanding from the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that all of my ummah is forgiven except those who expose themselves. Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen says, وَالْمُجَارُ وَالَّذِي إِذَا فَعَلَ الْمَعَصِيَةِ حَدَّثَ بِهَا. It's a very simple definition. That the mujar is the one who, if he commits a sin, he talks about it. He informs people of it. This is the mujahir. And the Sheikh will break down the different types of the mujahireen. وَالْمُجَاهِرُونَ هُمَ الَّذِينَ يُجَاهِرُونَ بِمَعَصِيَةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَهُمْ يَنْقَسِمُونَ إِلَى قِسْمَيْنِ. Now, whenever you hear the ulama say something is broken down into two parts, or three parts, or four parts, start writing. Bidnillahi ta'ala. The Shaykh, he says, al-awwal, the first type of person who exposes himself, who was intended in the meaning of the narration. An ya'amal al-ma'asiyah wa huwa mujahir biha. Now, this is the one I mentioned earlier. He just walks up and down the street with a bottle of wine in his hand. He's drinking, has no concern who sees him. Which eyes have fallen upon him from his crime and his transgression against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَيَعْمَلُهَا أَمَامِ النَّاسِ. So he does it in front of the people. وَهُمْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَيْهِ. And they're looking at him while he does it. So this is one type of mujahir. هَذَا لَا شَكْ أَنَّهُ لَيْسَ بِعَافِيَةٍ. And there's no doubt this person is from those who will not be pardoned. He's just walking up and down the street. He is from the very definition of one who exposes himself. By the very definition of one who exposes himself. لأنه جرّ على نفسه الويل. وَجَرَّهُ عَلَى غَيْرِهِ أَيْضًا. Now this is a very nice point, Ikhwan, because this individual has pulled himself or has caused himself to fall into affliction, and he may cause others to fall into affliction. Now what is intended here? Well, he has fallen into affliction because, Ikhwan, قَدْ ظَلَمَ نَفْسُهُ. He has oppressed his own soul. He has oppressed his own self by drinking and doing these acts of that are impermissible, these illicit acts. Sharif Amin says, فَلِأَنَّهُ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ, because he has oppressed himself. حَيْذَ عَصَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ, because he has disobeyed Allah and his messenger. وَكُلْ إِنسَانْ يَعْسِ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ فَإِنَّهُ ظَالِمْ لِنَفْسِهِ. So any person, إِخْوَانَ بِلِفِيكُمْ, who disobeys Allah and his messenger has oppressed his own soul. He has oppressed himself. You don't have to ask about people oppressing you. You oppress your own self, Ikhwan, by disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا ظَلَمُونَ وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. And he mentioned the verse in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Allah says, we have not oppressed, or rather, يعني, they oppressed their own selves. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen continues, Ikhwan, when nafs, he says after this, Ikhwan, yajibu an tar'aha haqq ri'ayatiha, one must take great care of oneself. One must take great care of oneself. Now that is the first type, Ikhwan, al-awwal, from those individuals who are from the mujahideen, those who expose themselves. The second type the Shaykh he mentions, Ikhwan, is the mujahara, is the one, Ikhwan, an ya'amal al-insan al-amal al-sayyib al-layl. For layl. So the second one is who does the act not in front of the eyesight of the people. No one sees him. No one knows what he has done. No one has heard about this affair. For yasuruhu Allah alayhi, and Allah covers his sin up. He commits the sin by night. Allah covers the sin up. No one sees it. And he said after this, Ikhwan, la bidifikum walau taba fi ma bainahu wa bain rabbihi la kana khayran la. This individual, if only he would cover himself up, keep the sin to himself, and repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala between him and his Lord, tabaraka wa ta'ala, lakana khayran lah. It would be better for him. This is better for him than what we find, Ikhwan, far too often these days. And unfortunately, social media has made the affair of exposing sins that much easier. Before social media, Ikhwan, as we talked about, the man got to be walking up and down the street or like this. Nowadays, Ikhwan, you got people who expose themselves on social media in front of millions of people around the world. All types of sins and transgressions against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not covering the sin up, not hiding the sin. And unfortunately, Ikhwan, what we have found in these times with this social media is people even bragging and boasting about these sins. And Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, Ikhwan, in the Sharh of the Riyad al-Salihin, he mentioned, Ikhwan, regarding this affair of those who boast and brag about their sins. This is a dangerous matter. The Shaykh, he said that those who go about in the earth and commit sins, these major sins and the likes of this, with no concern, with no worry, rather, they brag and they boast about these sins, it is as if they have made istihlal. It is as if they are saying these sins are permissible, and it is fearful for them that they will leave the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That is the danger, Ikhwan, of an individual who gets so engrossed in sin and transgression and it becomes like nothing to him, and to the point it becomes something beloved to him, and he begins to call to it and brag about it and boast about it. It is fearful that, Ikhwan, this individual is making istihlal of this thing, making it permissible by his boasting and his bragging, as Shaykh al-Uthaymeen mentions, and therefore, Ikhwan, leaving the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. This is not a light affair. It's not a small thing, ya Ikhwan. This is a major affair. And when I read that from Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, Ikhwan, some years ago, I wanted to make sure that my understanding was correct. So I went to Shaykh al-Fawzan, Hafidhahullah ta'ala, in the Riyadh. And when walking back from the masjid to his home, I had the opportunity, by Allah's permission, to ask the Shaykh regarding that. I wanted to make sure my understanding was correct. And the Shaykh said, na'am, yes, this is what we fear for those who fall into this. Bragging and boasting about their sins all in the open. It will be something of istihlal. And therefore they might fall into leaving the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ya Ikhwan, to protect us, to preserve us, The fear of Allah is in relation to these social media outlets and these platforms. And we are mindful and careful, ikhwan al-barifikum. If one is not benefiting from those affairs with affairs of knowledge, something from the Quran, something from the Sunnah, something from the Sahaba, something from the Salaf al-Salih, something from the ulama, some benefit. Even if a person has a business, some worldly benefit gain or like this, and that which is halal, then alhamdulillah. But as for so much of what we see, ikhwan, on these outlets and these platforms, from that which is in disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be mindful and be careful and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as it relates to that, ya ikhwan wa akhawat. He says, after this, ikhwan, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, وَلَكِنُّهُ إِذَا قَامَ فِي الصَّبَاحِ وَاخْتَلَتَ بِالنَّاسِ. This individual who sinned by night, and Allah covered up his sin. This individual wakes up in the morning, قَالَ عَمِلْتُ الْبَارِحَ كَذَا. And he goes to the people and says, guess what I did last night? Informing them of that which he had fallen into. فَهَذَا لَيْسَ بِمُعَافَ هَذَا. The Shaykh al-Uthaymeen says, this individual will not be pardoned, based on the narration of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. لِعَاذُ بِاللَّهِ قَدْ سَتَرَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ فَأَصْبَحْ يَفْضَحْ نَفْسَهُ. Allah covered his sin, and he exposed himself. Now, ikhwan, I mentioned earlier, as we began this talk, that I would mention some of the narrations of some of the Sahaba that even further show us the practical understanding and the application of the Noble Companions as it relates to what we are talking about. We already saw it from the narration of Hazal. But here we see, ikhwan al-barifikum, in the narration of Abul Yasar al-Ansari. For those who are familiar with the narration, Abul Yasar, ikhwan, he mentions that he was selling some dates, or like this, and a woman came that wanted to buy some dates. And he said, well, in my home, I have dates that are better than these, yani than the ones that I have here presently. So it mentions the narration that they went to his home, his abode. And he says in the narration that I began to desire her and kissed her and the likes of this. And he began to have nedim over what had happened. Now he mentions he kissed her and that was it, nothing beyond that. But he began to have nedim. He began to be remorseful and regretful, ikhwan, in that which had taken place. So one of the narrations mentions, ikhwan, that he went to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. He went to the noble companion of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and informed him of what had happened. And what did Abu Bakr say in the narration, ikhwan? Ustur ala nafsik wa la tukhbir ahadan wa tub ila Allah. Abu Bakr said to him, cover yourself, conceal yourself. Don't tell anybody else and repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is Abu Bakr's understanding, ikhwan. Before this even gets to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr's time, because this is what Abu Bakr has learned from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Cover yourself. Conceal your sin. Don't tell anybody else and repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what did Abu Yasr say, ikhwan? He said, wala masbir. But I couldn't contain myself. I couldn't be patient with that. He was broken up, ikhwan. He was nadim, regretful, remorseful. He needed some help, some answers regarding this. So one narration mentions he went to Umar after this, separate from Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. And what did Umar say, ya ikhwan? Who knows what Umar said? Separate from what Abu Bakr said. Who knows? He said the same exact thing in the wording. Ustur ala nafsik. Conceal yourself. وَلَا تُخْبِرْ أَحَدًا. Don't tell anybody else. وَتُوبْ إِلَى رَبِّكَ. And repent to your Lord. So here he goes, ikhwan, to Abu Bakr and Umar, the best of the people after the prophets and the messengers, the best of this ummah after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And here they are, ikhwan, giving him the understanding that they learned from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This, ikhwan, is the understanding of the Sahaba. But what did Abu Yasir say? Wala masbir, I couldn't be patient. So he goes to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and informs him what had taken place. Now, in another wording of the narration, ikhwan, on top of that which was already mentioned from Abu Bakr and from Umar, in another wording, after he told the Messenger of Allah, Umar said, Satra alayhi Allah, fakana alayhi an yasur ala nafsihi. Allah covered his sin, it was upon him to cover himself. Look at this Ikhwan. Look at the fiqh of the Sahaba. Look at the understanding of the Sahaba. Allah ibn Fikum, from them, Ikhwan, the most noble of the companions, Abu Bakr and Umar. So that's what we find, Ikhwan, from this affair, and this is what we find in the narration. When the Messenger of Allah kept telling him, irji', go back. So it mentions, Ikhwan, that he came again. فَقَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ تَهِرْنِي, O Messenger of Allah, purify me. نعم. And he said the same thing the third time. So when he came back, Ma'iz came back the third time, the Messenger of Allah said to him the same thing. حَتَّى إِذَا كَانَتَ الرَّابِعَ. Then on the fourth time, when he came back and said the same thing, he said, فِيمَا أُطَهِرُكَ. From what should I purify you? Now, after all of that. Now, again, Ikhwan, three times he's come and he's asked for purification. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never asked him yet what it was about. Finally, when he has made israr, he is yani consistent. He keeps coming back that he needs to get this purification. Finally, the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, from what? فَقَالَ مِنَ الزِّنَا. He says, from illegal sexual activities. So the Messenger of Allah, Ikhwan, after this, he says, Abihi Junoon. He didn't just automatically take that, Ikhwan, again, trying to make sure, making sure that the ruling is there, Ikhwan, that everything is in place, that everything is up to speed, as they say. Is he insane? Does he have insanity? Is he known to have insanity? فَأُخْبِرْ أَنَّهُ لَيْسَ بِمَجْنُونَ. So the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم was informed that he was not insane. فَقَالَ أَشَّرِبَ خَمْرًا. Is he intoxicated? Huh? Again, after asking if he had junoon, then asking, had he had intoxicants? So someone went and they sniffed him and smelled him. فَلَمْ يَجِدْ مِنْهُ رِيحَ خَمْرٍ. And they could not find the scent of intoxicants upon him. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الزِّنَيْتِ. Then look at this, Ikhwan, Allahu Akbar. After three times telling him to go back, repent, seek Allah's forgiveness. On the fourth time, all right, from what? And then he informs and he says, is he Majnoon? He's making sure that the affair is correct. Then after finding out that he wasn't Majnoon, is he intoxicated? He's not intoxicated. Then he's making tawqeed. Are you sure? And he's innate. And in another wording of the narration, perhaps you only kissed her. Or just touched her. Or like this. Again, Ikhwan, clarify, making sure, Ikhwan, that this is the ruling. And again, Ikhwan, and one of the points that we're going to read from Sheikh Ibn Baz is that this is only for Yani Wali al-Amr. The one who can actually give you the punishment. As we'll see, inshallah ta'ala, from the speech of Sheikh Ibn Baz and Sheikh Uthaymeen. Bidni Allahi tabaraka wa ta'ala. So he said after this, Ikhwan, الزنيت. So Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, Ikhwan, in the explanation of this, he says, وَلِهَذَا لَمَّا جَاءَ مَاعِزَ بِنْ مَالِكَ رَضِي اللَّهُ عَنْهُ إِلَى النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ جَاءَ يُكِرْ بِالزِّنَا. Again, affirming this act of illegal sexual activity. يَقُولْ إِنَّهُ زَنَا فَأَعْرَضَ عَنْهُ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Turned from him, as we mentioned in the narration, the first time. And the second time, and the third time, Shaykh Uthaymeen continues to mention, يُرِيدُ أَن يَتُوبُ فَيَتُوبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. What does he want? Prophet ﷺ, Shaykh Uthaymeen says, the Prophet ﷺ wants him to go and repent so Allah can forgive him. Without exposing this, without anything beyond that, go back and repent to Allah so that you can be forgiven. The Shaykh, he mentions, this is what the Messenger of Allah ﷺ hopes for. فَلَمَّا جَاءَ الرَّابِعَ. But when he came the fourth time, the Prophet ﷺ said, أَبِيكَ جُنُونَ. Are you insane? Meaning, is your mind sound? And then after this, Ikhwan, it says he doesn't have junoon, he's not insane. And then the Prophet ﷺ in this wording, Shaykh Uthaymeen says, أَتَدْرِي مَا الزِّنَا. Do you know what zina is? And again, these are different wordings of this particular narration. Now, the point of all of this, Ikhwan, as we see from Shaykh Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, is that again, the origin and the asl of this, Ikhwan, is not to inform, but rather to cover the sin, to hide the sin, and repent to Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. So after this Ikhwan, it mentions, فَقَالَ نَعَمْ. He said, yes, I committed zina, فَأَمَرَ بِهِ فَرُجِمْ. So ultimately, Ikhwan, he says, yes, it was fornication, it was adultery. Prophet ﷺ, therefore, after this, commanded that the punishment be placed upon him, and he was stoned to death, radiallahu anhu. The narration continues, Ikhwan, فَكَانَ النَّاسْ فِيهِ فِرْقَتَيْنِ. So there were two parties from the companions as it relates to the affair of Ma'iz ibn Malik. Two parties. Qailun yaqul, some said, لَقَدْ هَلَكْ. Yani, he harmed himself greatly, gravely. لَقَدْ أَحَاطَتْ بِهِ خَطِيَتُهُ. Yani, his sin has enveloped him. His act has enveloped him. وقائل يقول ما توبة أفضل من توبة ماعز. And another group that said that there is no repentance better than the repentance of ماعز. أنه جاء للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فوضع يده في يده ثم قال اقتلني بالحجارة. He came to the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, put his hand in the Prophet's hand, and he said, stone me to death. Could be a greater repentance, some of the companions were saying, than that. What could be a better repentance than that? فَلَبِثُ بِذَلَكَ يَوْمَيْن. And they remained in that conversation, that discussion, for 2 days. أو ثلاثة, two or three days. ثُمَّ جَاءَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بُهُمْ جُلُوسٌ. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم came and he found them sitting. فَسَلَّمَ. He gave them the salutations. ثُمَّ جَلَسَ. And then he sat. فقال استغفروا لماعز بن مالك. He said, seek forgiveness for ماعز بن مالك. قالوا غفر الله لماعز بن مالك. And he said, may Allah pardon and forgive ماعز بن مالك. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لقد تاب توبة لو قسمت بين أمة لوسعتهم. He said, Ikhwan, that he repented in such a way, with such a repentance, that if it had been distributed amongst a whole ummah, a whole nation of people, it would have sufficed them. It would have covered them. So this, Ikhwan, shows us the tremendous affair of his tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Regarding this, Ikhwan, Sheikh ibn Baz, we'll read from Sheikh ibn Baz first. Regarding this, Ikhwan, he says, Al-wajib ala al-muslim, إذا وقع في شيء من هذا, and yastar bisatirillah. It is upon him, yastatir bisatirillah. It is upon him to cover himself and conceal himself with that which Allah has hidden and kept concealed. Wa alla yubayyin dalika, and not to inform anyone of that. Yatub ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wal mar'a kadhalik, and the woman likewise, man or woman. وَلَا يُبَيِّنْ هَذَا لِلنَّاسِ. They should not inform anyone from the people regarding this. فَمَتْ أَنْتَبَهَا لِهَذَا الْأَمْرِ وَهَدَاهُ اللَّهِ فَالْوَاجِبَ عَلَيْهِ الْبَدَارِ بِالتَّوْبَةِ وَالنَّدْمِ عَلَى مَا مَضَى مِنْهُ. And once the person realizes and understands the gravity of what they have done, the Shaykh, he says, Ikhwan, it is obligatory to hasten to tawbah. It is obligatory to race to repentance and remorse. And we mentioned remorse last night. Remorse or regret for what the individual, the person has committed from their crime and their transgression, to have remorse for that. وَلِقْلَاعِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ, and to leave off the sin, Sheikh ibn Baz, he says. وَلِعَزَّمْ الصَّادِقِ أَلَّا يَعُودِ, and the firm determination to never return to the sin. And these are the three conditions that we mentioned last night from Tawbah. Beginning, of course, the Shaykh, he mentions first, An-Nadm. And we mentioned the reason for that, because the Messenger of Allah وسلم, named Tawbah An-Nadm, remorse or regret, because of its central role in repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now look what Sheikh Ibn Baz goes on to say, Ya Ikhwan, وَلَا حَاجِ إِلَىٰ أَنْ يَقُولِ النَّاسِ إِنِّي فَعَلْتِ.
And there is no need. لَا دَاعِ. There's no need for a person to go and tell the people, this is what I did. تَهِرُونِي.
Yani, purify me. اِضْرِبُونِي. Strike me. And the Sheikh says, وَالْمَرْءَ كَذَلِكَ.
The woman likewise. لَا يَنْبَغِي لَهَا وَلَا يُشْرَعْ لَهَا أَنْ تَذْهَبِ لِلنَّاسِ وَأَنْ تَقُولَ فَعَلْتُ وَفَعَلْتُ.
It is not legislated for her to go to the people and say, I did this and I did that.
It is not legislated for her to go to the people and say, I did this and I did that.
بَلْ Sheikh Ibn Baz says, rather, كُلٌّ مِنْهُمَا عَلَيْهِ أَنْ يَسْتَتِرْ بِسَتْرِ اللَّهِ.
It is upon them to conceal themselves with that which Allah has concealed, with the cover of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala.
وَأَنْ يَتُوبَ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَوْبَةً صَادِقًا.
And to repent to Allah sincerely and truthfully.
And to repent to Allah sincerely and truthfully.
وَاللَّهُ يَتُوبَ عَلَى التَّائِبِ.
And Allah will forgive the repenter, ya ikhwan. Allah forgives the repenter, ikhwan, la barifikum.
And the Sheikh Ibn Baz, he goes on. And he mentions, from the narration of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, التائب من الذنب كمن لا ذنب له.
But the one who repents from a sin is like the one who didn't sin in the first place.
فالمقصود, Sheikh Ibn Baz says, so what is intended?
أن التوبة تجب ما قبلها.
That tawbah or repentance removes and erases that which came before it, wipes it out.
متى تاب الإنسان من ذنبه صدقا بأن ندم على ما مضى منه وأقلع منه وعزم ألا يعود فيه فإن الله يتوب عليه.
He mentions إخوان لبرفيكم. So when the person repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a sincere, truthful repentance, meaning that he is remorseful and regretful and broken up over what had transpired from him in the past, and he leaves off that sin, and he determines with a firm determination never to return to it. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَتُوبُ عَلَيْهِ.
Allah will forgive him.
Allah will forgive him. With no need to go to the people and say, I did such and such. And I fell into such and such. Purify me. I did such and such.
فَعَلَيْكَ أَيُّهَا السَّائِلُ.
So Sheikh Ibn Baz says to the one who asked him this question,
فَعَلَيْكَ أَن تَتُوبْ إِلَى اللَّهِ صِدْقًا.
It is upon you to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truthfully, sincerely.
وَتَنْدَمْ عَلَى مَا مَضَى مِنْ عَمَلِكَ السَّيِّئِ.
And to be remorseful and regretful for your past evil actions.
وَتَعْزِمْ أَلَّا تَعُودْ فِيهِ أَبَدًا.
And to determine with a firm determination never to return to those sins.
أَبَدًا, ever.
وَاللَّهُ يَتُوبُ عَلَى التَّائِبِ. And Allah forgives the sincere repenter. Sheikh Ibn Baz continues, وَلَيْسَ لَكَ أَن تَأْتِيَ إِمَامَ الْمَسْجِدِ.
And it's not for you to go to the imam of the masjid and say, yani, I fell into such and such. I did such and such. Because the imam of the masjid, ikhwan, and
we're just talking about an imam here of a masjid, any masjid in any yani, particular land, can't just go to the imam of the masjid. He can't give you the punishment. Can't give you the punishment.
At the very least, if a person is broken up and they need some help, then they can make talmih.
And they can say, a person fell into such and such. What is your advice for that person? For example.
But not to expose oneself and say, I did, and I fell into, and I did such and such.
But what do you say about a person who fell into such and such?
And they talmih.
So he said, after this, ikhwan, la barifikum, it is not for you to go to the imam of a masjid, or ila al-amir, or al-qadi, or a judge, or like this, or to call, idribni, strike me, la, ma yushra' laka thalika, that is not legislated for you, lakin, idha kunta labud fa'ilan, falyakun hadhli wali al-amr.
If you must do it, if you fear that you will not be able to repent sincerely, and the only way to have this sin expiated, And to repent sincerely is for the punishment to be given to you. If that is a must, that you feel that deeply in your heart, as we see in the narration of Ma'iz, and he says, then you must go to Wali al-Amr.
ما
ما هو للشخص الذي هو إمام المسجد. Not just to an imam of a masjid, for example. بل يكون لولي الأمر. Rather, you must go to the ruler, for example. The sultan, the ruler. Or the one that he has placed in his stead. Or the qadi has placed in his stead. حتى يقيم عليك الحد الشرعي. So as to receive the punishment. So again, ikhwan, the only instance of the ulama, and Sheikh Uthaymeen says similar, we won't have time to go into the Sheikh's speech today. We're running short on time, but Sheikh Uthaymeen says similar to this, rahimahullah, that one, if one wants to have the punishment placed upon him, then he goes to the sultan, to the ruler, wali al-amr, so as to have that affair placed upon him. Not to just, for example, an imam of a masjid or to the end of that. And then Sheikh Ibn Baz says after this, and we'll end on this, قَدْ ثَبَتَ أَنَّ مَاعِزِ بِنْ مَالِكَ الْأَسْلَمِ أَتَى النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم. That Ma'az ibn Malik came through the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, and he mentioned what we mentioned before regarding the narration, going to him three times until the fourth time. And he فَرُجْ him, because of course he was يعني, married previously. And Sheikh Ibn Baz says, وَقَدْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْهُ أَوَّلْ مَرَّاتْ كَثِيرًا. The Prophet ﷺ turned away from him several times. لَعَلَّهُ يَتُوبُ فَيَتُوبُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. That perchance or perhaps he would just repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah would forgive him. وَلَكِنُّ أَصَّرَّ عَلَى طَلَبِ الطَّهَارَ. But he was emphatic about this, that he wanted the purification. التطهير بالحد الشرعي. فَأَجَابُهُ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى ذلك. So the Prophet ﷺ gave him the punishment. Finally, and we'll end on this from Sheikh Ibn Baz, ikhwan, the last portion of the statement. Al-Maqsood, so what is intended, أَنَّ التَّائِبَ مِنَ الذَّنْبِ كَمَنْ لَا ذَنْبَ لَهُ. So the one who repents from sin is like the one who didn't sin in the first place. وَإِنْ لَمْ يَأْتِ إِلَى الْإِمَامِ. Even if he didn't go to an imam of a masjid or like this, وَيَقُلْ طَهِرْنِي, purify me, بَلْ يَسْتَتِرْ بِسَتْرِ اللَّهِ. Rather, what he should do is cover himself and conceal himself with the cover that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him, and to not expose ذنبه للناس to the people, ولا يعلنه للناس, nor announce it to the people. And inshallah ta'ala, ikhwan, tomorrow we'll continue, inshallah, with our last talk regarding these three stories, bidni Allah ta'ala. And there's no time to read from the questions. I'll make the lesson short tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala, so we can try to cover some of the questions, bidni Allah ta'ala, wa jazakum Allahu khairah.